Welcome to the Anan podcast, to a very special edition of the Anan podcast. We're here in Mjeri with a very special guest, opening up the second series and the second season of the podcast, Anthony Anderson. Thank you so much for joining us here today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And thank you for coming to Saudi. How has it been?
It's been great. It's been an experience of a lifetime. You know, it's my first time in Saudi. The people are wonderful, beautiful, gracious, friendly. I can't think of any more adjectives to describe the people here in Saudi. It feels like I'm home. It feels like family.
Thank you. We are home.
Yes.
And we're very happy for you to be enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
That thobe, though.
Yes.
Is that all the way from home?
No. I wish it was. No, this is here. You know, I try to immerse myself in the cultures when I travel the world and immerse myself in communities and with the people. So I thought what better thing to wear to the ceremony today than this.
It's a perfect fit.
Yeah.
So Anthony, in this podcast, we interview guests from different backgrounds, from different experts from around the world. But what we all want to get to is ask the questions that youth want to ask.
Sure.
And so I'm going to ask you the questions that I think youth want to ask and the kind of answers that we know we're going to get from you, because mm-hmm. you've had a tremendous story that we want to hear today. And I'm going to start with a very simple question.
Mm-hmm.
What do you love about making people laugh?
It's therapeutic. You know, I believe that's what my energy was created and put on this earth to do, to entertain. And to entertain, for me, is through laughter and comedy. You know, with comedy, you can talk about anything with someone from across the table. Mm-hmm. As long as we are able to laugh at ourselves, we can ease into any conversation that I feel we need to, and communicate that way. Again, laughter is therapeutic, no matter what it is that we're going through. A good cry and a good laugh can get you through anything.
It's a universal language.
Yes, it is.
We understand and we all get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think that was your first choice. I hear you wanted to be a lawyer. Is that true?
It's true. I wanted to be three things. I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to play American football for the Dallas Cowboys. And I wanted to be an actor. And at the age of 9, I realized that if I became an actor, I could be all of those things and whatever else I wanted to become in life. And so then began my pursuit in this industry at the age of 9. Yeah.
Was it the age of 9 or was it when you were, I hear 18 months, when your mom put you on a...
Oh, wow. Somebody's been doing their research here. You know, I didn't have a choice at 18 months, but I guess my mother saw the sparkle in my eye when I was when I was little. But maybe because I made more money than my mom, even at 18 months as an actor, that she's like, "Ooh, you going to work, boy. You going to support me." You know, she was a single mom until she met my dad, who wasn't my biological father, but raised me. But yeah. she was a single mom and made sacrifices. But this was her dream to be an actor, and it never worked out for her for obvious reasons. My mother's a horrible actress.
Mom, I hope you're not watching.
Oh, no, she knows. It's the truth. She'll tell you. But she made sacrifices for me as a young mom early on in motherhood. And I guess she saw something in me, didn't push me into it or whatnot once I became older, but it was a decision that I made and a choice that I made when I was 9 years old. Yeah, and so for the last 44 years, this is what I've been preparing myself to do. It's actually the only thing I've prepared myself to do. It might be foolish. It might have been naive, but, you know, I had a dream. You know, and I dreamt big. Mm. And if your dreams don't scare you, you're not dreaming big enough, is what I used to hear. But this was my passion. And so from the age of 9, I dedicated myself to being a successful actor, not just being an actor,
yeah.
but being a successful actor and a working actor. And again, it sounds foolish now that you know, every time I talk about it out loud, but again, it was it. It was just hard work, perseverance, determination, sacrifice. But those are the qualities that got me to where I am right now, sitting before you in Saudi Arabia.
Absolutely. Yeah. I relate to that so much.
Yes.
I have my mother here for the first time also watching me.
Oh, wow.
She wanted to do this. I think part of her wanted to do this. And uh-huh. I'm doing exactly what you did.
Yes.
Reliving what I think our moms wanted to do.
Yeah. So. And it's beautiful that I'm in a position in my career that I can give my mother the opportunity to do what she always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing now. You know, I have opened up a world to her where she can go out as a 70-year-old woman. Actually younger than that, because I started employing her 10 years ago. So as a 60-year-old woman, you know, to really live the way that she wanted to live in just in her dreams. And, you know, we've had success with commercials. We've had success with our game shows and talk shows and our travel shows. So it's very rewarding as a son to be able to see my mom glow the way that she glows, because she's able to spread her wings and live a life that she's always wanted and fulfill a dream.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. You said you found acting at the age of 9.
Yes.
When did you find your niche, which is comedy?
You know, I just grew up, my household was a funny household. Okay. My neighborhood, my friends, all of us, you know, we played the dozens. We talked about each other. We talked about, you know, each other's family members. And that was just normal for us. Mm-hmm. But my mother's funny. My dad's funny. I come from a funny family, just in terms of who we are as individuals. It may not be slapstick, you know, slap your knee, ha ha ha, but it's just like, yo, that was funny. You know, sometimes I would look at my brothers and be like, y'all are peculiar, you know, but yeah, so comedy was something that was always natural to me. And my mother has no filter. And she didn't have a filter with us growing up. And just the stories that we have, not really child abandonment, but I'm going to say child abandonment. My mother would leave us alone to go play bingo, you know, to fend for ourselves.
But it's time to have fun.
She would go have her fun and be like, feed yourself. I'm like, but mama, I'm 6. I don't care. Eat. But yeah, it was just a funny household. And my core group of friends, you know, we didn't grow up thinking that, you know, we were going to change the world. Actually, I did. But as a group, you know, with comedy and what we did, we just, you know, wanted to have fun. But I knew there was a bigger purpose, and I had a bigger purpose in life.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like to call what I have a talent. I like to call it a gift. And it's a gift that I've been blessed with. And it's my responsibility to share this gift with the world. And I realized that at a very young age. And that's what I do. Yeah. And sitting here in front of you right now in Saudi Arabia at the MISC ceremony goes to show you that, yeah, I am sharing my gift with the world.
That's very humbling.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Keeps you grounded, I think.
It does. It does. That's what I like to think. You know, I know a lot of people have gone Hollywood. I probably went Hollywood just a little bit, you know, early on in my career, just with, you know, the accolades that come along with it. But my mother has kept me grounded. My family has kept me grounded. My friends have kept me grounded. Experiences like this and my travels have kept me grounded. And I believe that's why I'm able to continue to do what I do.
That's beautiful. I want to double click on something you mentioned, which is we spoke about comedy being a universal language.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke about it doing something bigger than that.
Yes.
What role do you think comedy plays in creating positive social impact?
Again, it goes back to us not being afraid to laugh at ourselves. You know, if we are able to laugh at ourselves, and with others. Mm. There's nothing that we can't do. Again, it eases us into conversation. Conversations that, you know, we may not want to have, we shouldn't have, but laughter and comedy eases us into that. And hopefully it starts a dialogue that we will be able to have a better understanding of one another as we sit across from this table with differences of opinion. I respect yours, you respect mine. Sometimes we're going to respectfully disagree or agree to disagree. Mm. And you know, we laugh. We laugh. You know, sometimes it can be like, can you believe he said that? Can you believe she said that? You know, and then you're just like, yeah, what do you mean? Can you believe I said he says such. And then, you know, it just helps us. It takes less muscles to smile than it does to frown, you know? Yeah. I mean, imagine, you know, you walking around with a smile on your face all day. It's a beautiful thing,
yeah.
You know, but if you walk around scowling at somebody, it takes all of this to, yeah, no, let's just smile.
I was just up on stage. I was the first session and I kept telling myself, lean, smile.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, like, being on the first session, I was a bit nervous. But the moment I did, I was like, it's all going to be okay.
Yeah, it's going to be okay.
It was okay.
You were on stage in front of all those people out there, right?
I was.
The thing I like about being on stage that helps me overcome anxiety, I'm not going to say fear because I'm not fearful, so anxiety or whatnot, is that I'm the chef. The stage is my kitchen. And everybody else is sitting out in the audience. They're sitting at a table waiting for the dish that I'm preparing. So you are going to eat what I prepare. And that's how I deal with it. You know, I may not prepare a meal to everyone's liking, you know, but you know what? I prepared my meal in my house for you. And that's it. That's how I get over it. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I'm going to use that.
Use it. Only if you can cook, though. I mean, if you can't cook, don't be up there. Tell my, yeah.
So my husband's behind me. You can ask him later.
All right. I mean, I'm going to ask him right now. Can she cook? Be honest. The cameras are rolling. Okay. Good answer. He said you can.
Oh, we'll deal with that later.
He said you can. What do you mean you'll deal with it later?
Anthony, we're asking questions the youth want answers to.
Well, first off, hold on, because you keep saying youth. Now, I did my research. Now, the youth in the States is 18 and under. The youth in Saudi Arabia is what, 16 to 47? What kind of youth is 47?
-7.
Yeah, right. 16 to 35? That's some old youth.
Well,
if you're 35, you're no longer young. How can you be considered youth if you're 35?
I guess that's arguable.
Okay. I'm just saying. That's a middle-aged man or a woman at 35. That's middle-aged.
I think maybe, I don't know, people do live here longer. I don't know.
I'm just saying. 35 is not a youth. You know, imagine walking into school and be like, hey, mama, this is my friend. I'm 7. He's 32. This is my youth. Okay.
We're young at heart.
Okay.
If you take that.
Okay, youthful at heart. Fine. Okay, I got that.
So the youth, whatever age they may be.
Yes.
So the acting scene, the production scene is gaining a lot of interest and popularity in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Many people are moving in that direction and kind of want to follow a career in that.
Mm-hmm.
What advice do you have for people that want to turn their passion into their reality?
Do it. Turn their passion into reality. Make the sacrifices that you need to make. And that sacrifice is hard work, determination, but also being authentic to yourself and to the stories that you want to tell. Controlling your narrative. You know, for me in Hollywood, a lot of stories aren't being told from my point of view or a person of colors, persons of color points of view. And when that's not happening, we have to create our own opportunities so we can tell our own stories. And that's what I would tell the youth today. You know, be authentically you, yourself, and tell your stories from your point of view. Control the narrative. And just be honest. And it's not about trying to cater to a specific audience or whatnot. Just be true to yourself. And your audience will find you. Now, in our television show, Black-ish, we were just telling our stories. Yeah. And in telling our authentic stories, people came to understand them, and people came to witness them. Because not only were we telling our stories, but we were telling your story.
Yeah.
We were just telling your story from our point of view, and you got it, and you understood. And he was like, that's exactly what's going on in my household with my parents, my grandparents, my children. You know, we were just telling universal stories from our perspective. And it's something that that everybody can identify with. And I think that's why our television show Black-ish resonated with a worldwide audience, not just, you know, an African-American audience, but around the globe. You know, people responded and welcomed our show. And I think it was just because it was a refreshing take on life told from this beautiful Black family. But they're all stories that we deal with in our families.
I love how relatable Black-ish is, because it's a testament to how common everything is around the world.
Mm-hmm.
How common problems, common practices, common challenges. It's honestly like 90%.
Yeah, I mean, we all have issues in our relationships. We all have issues with our children. We all have issues with our workplace. We all have issues with our community and our environment. I'm just telling it from my perspective. Same problems that you're having, you know, but you can identify with it. He's like, oh, that's exactly what I'm going through. How did they know? Now you've been like, who's the spy in my house? Who's the fly on the wall sharing my information? But, you know, it's just things that we all go through.
Yeah.
You know, the realities of life.
You spoke about authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
I love this word. Easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get there?
You have to be comfortable in the skin that you're in. And you have to live your life for you. Not for your parents, not for your friends, you have to be true to yourself in order to be true to others, you know? And it's not an easy task. Sometimes it's hard to look in that mirror and be truthful and honest with yourself.
Yeah.
But you have to look at that reflection and, you know, be honest with you and be like, oh, you know what? I'm not as funny as I think I am, or I'm not as fly as I think I am. I'm not as handsome or as beautiful as they say that I am. You know, you see the truth. And once you become truthful with yourself, you can be truthful with the world. And then you become beautiful. Then, you know, you glow, and it's just like, oh, and then there's just an aura about you, because you have sat in on who you are and have become comfortable with the skin that you're in, you know?
It's a process.
It is.
It's a journey.
It is.
Sometimes a long one.
Sometimes it takes us longer than others, but it's a journey, and it's a beautiful journey.
Mm.
Yeah.
You have recently made a big milestone in your life.
What was
that? You graduated from Howard University with a bachelor's degree in fine arts last year.
Yes, I did.
Last year. Why
do you keep saying last year? Like, well, Anthony, you know, you started school.
You just told me it was 35 years in the making.
I started college in 1988. And after my junior year, I had to come home. I ran out of money. I couldn't afford college anymore. I couldn't ask my parents to send me tuition, because I had three brothers and sisters at home that my parents were taking care of. So it was a sacrifice. It's like, okay, I'll come home for a little bit. I planned on coming home just for a little while, getting a job and making some money, and then going back and finishing my senior year. And that didn't happen. You know, real life got in the way. ended up having a child, having to get a job to support my lady and my daughter, and then getting married, then having another child. And I was like, now I have responsibilities. And then my career took off. And then my priorities were different. I always thought and knew that I would go back and finish school. I just never knew when. And back in 2018, my son, who's the youngest, he was accepted into Howard University.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what, man? I said, I'm going to graduate with you, son. I said, I'm going to walk with you in 2022. You've inspired me to go back and get my degree. And I only had 15 credits to get my degree, so I could have done it easily. But I decided that I was going to walk in 2022 with my son. And that was the promise I made him. But more importantly, that was the promise I made myself. Real life got in the way of my son, and he ended up leaving college after his freshman year. But again, I kept my word. It was disheartening. But, you know, we all have our journeys. You know, I left after my junior year, but I left for different reasons. My son, you know, his ambition is to be an actor, and, you know, he had an opportunity and he was like, yo, this is my time. And I had to respect that. But again, I kept my word to myself and did what I needed to do, wrote my papers, and was able to get my degree in 2022. And I walked across that stage at Howard University, graduating from, when I was a student there, it was just the College of Fine Arts. But by the time I graduated, this was the first year that the College of Fine Arts had changed its name to the Chadwick A. Boseman College of Fine Arts. And Chadwick was, I can't call him a friend, but we were friendly. We had that connection. We both went to Howard University at different times, and we both were actors living in Los Angeles who paths crossed often. And Dr. Felicia Rashad ended up being a great friend over the years. She was now the dean of the Chadwick A. Boseman College of Fine Arts. And she presented me with my degree the year that I graduated. So it was several full circle moments for me, and it felt good. You know, my son was in the stands watching me graduate along with his friends and his girlfriend. And I hope that it would spark something in him seeing that and being a part of that. But yeah, it was a beautiful moment. It was a beautiful moment.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Very inspiring, and a beautiful way to kind of end our discussion here, because I keep getting signs and I don't want it to end.
It's over already. I thought the dude was over there. I thought he was over there doing jumping jacks. I thought he was stretching. I didn't know. He was like, yo, wrap it up.
I was just warming up. But
oh, man.
Some people are jumping over there.
No, okay. Well, maybe I'll have to come back for the second, third, fourth, and fifth edition of this show.
All
right.
I'll be here.
Yeah, okay. So will I. No, we can't go for another fight. Ma'am, who is this woman over here speaking for us? Who is this woman speaking for us? They jumping jacks from us. Cut down. Don't you know I got to get prepared for this speech for these old young people I got to go talk to over there?
They're mostly young.
They ain't no mostly young. 70% of the people in this country is 35 years old. That's a country full of youths. I've done my research. Them some old young people.
I mean.
Or young old people. However you want to look at it.
Look at us.
Yeah, well, okay. You're young-ish. You're young-ish.
I'm under 35.
Oh, okay. All right. Do you have another question on that tablet that you want to look at?
Well.
Come on, Oprah. Let's go.
Okay. First of all, congratulations. I don't think I said that. It really inspired me. Yeah, the choice you made to kind of go back and... I think it sounds like you needed that full circle moment. And
yes.
A lot of times we need that sort of full circle moment, even if it's literally 30 years later.
Mm-hmm.
What motivates you to continue to pursue such opportunities, even though, honestly, someone would look at you and said, wow, he made it?
Yeah. Change. wanting to be a part of change, wanting to be a part of history, as we all are here in the kingdom right now being a part of. And being relevant in a way, not just because of who I am and what I do, but relevant in a way to make change and make opportunities for other people. That's what keeps me going. I'm a member of this fraternity in the States called Omega Sci-Fi Fraternity Incorporated. And one of our key phrases is we lift as we climb. So it's my responsibility to bring people with me as I climb, because someone did that for me. And that's why I continue to do what I do, you know, to provide opportunities for those who need that. I stand on the shoulders of those before me. So someone needs to stand on my shoulders. I need to make myself ready for someone to stand on my shoulders so they can lift as they climb. That's why I continue to do what I do.
Change is the only constant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much has that led your life?
A lot. You know, change in a lot of ways, changing in appearance, changing in social status, changing relationships, changing for the better, you know, making change, mm-hmm. seeing the change in other people and how that affects me. Being inspired by other people, as well as being an inspiration and an aspiration. That's what it means for me in my life and my career.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I want to end with this question. So the theme of this year's Miss Global Forum is the big now. I think they're two very simple words, but a very deep meaning.
Mm-hmm.
We're almost saying, like, we're not even waiting for change to happen in the future. We want the change now.
Yes.
And one of the ways I think Amani described earlier to you was, they keep saying youth are the future, you are the future. And then when the future comes, they're like,
mm-hmm.
well, you missed it. It's the next ones now.
Yes.
What do you want to see in the world now?
Oh. Change. But we have to be active. You know, we have to be activists. And again, like you just said, we can't wait for change to happen, because then we age out. And then it's like, oh, it's up to them now. It's like, well, hold on. It was up to me a generation ago. And we allowed that to pass us by. Now we're passing the buck to somebody else. So we have to be active in the here and the now. Making change now and not waiting for change to happen later. Yeah, we have to take control, you know, and if the revolution will not be televised, it won't be televised, because we are the ones at the controls and pulling the plugs. That's what we have to do.
That gives a lot of sense of responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the head is heavy that wears the crown.
We're in the front seat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anthony,
mm-hmm.
thank you.
Thank you.
An absolute pleasure.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine.
Really?
Yes. I want to do it again.